well in your beds.
Because if this thing comes true, there ain't gonna be any more.
It's an elevator. Somebody sent those deads up here to get us. Now, there's no controls inside, but there's maintenance overrides in there.
You were. I was wrong. We were so wrong. We must leave.
Hello, welcome once again to Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror, film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the US of A, and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
Eric, how's it going, sir?
I am well.
Excellent. And in the Commonwealth of Virginia?
Hey, this is Barrett.
Barrett, how's it going, sir?
Doing well.
Excellent. Tonight, it's just the three of us. Co-host Mike was unable to make it because he's actually on vacation in this town of Salem, Massachusetts. For
likely story, that's all I have to say.
No, I believe he's in Salem. I'm just... Right, there's right. So many jokes I can make. I just
something just came up.
I just got away.
Yeah, yeah, we'll discuss when we get into our movie and the interesting things and such. So for folks who have stumbled upon us for the first time, we are Dark Discussions Podcast, which is part of the Dark Discussions News Network. We've been around for over 10 and a half years. This is the staple podcast, or the main podcast of the network. There's a number of other podcasts on the network, including podcasts about television series, as well as various other co-hosts from other podcasts that do movie reviews. Also, the website has articles, release notices, videos, and all the sorts of other things. So check out that. And you can email us at darkdiscussions@aol.com or just go to darkdiscussions.com and press contact us on the menu. Also, we have a Facebook group called Dark Discussions Podcast Facebook group, and you can join there and get into the discussions that we have there. I know folks may poo-poo social media because it is a horrible and evil place, but if you can do it, we do exist there. It's part of, unfortunately, what we have to do. But we have met some good folks through social media too. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So actually, that's how I met Eric, as a matter of fact.
That's true. I forget about it. That was back when Facebook was more innocent.
Yes. That was before people figured out that, oh, I can just spread out hate and not have any consequences.
Right. Well, that was happening before Facebook, but...
But at least Facebook at the time, people hadn't figured it out that they could do it there, too.
No, Phil and I met because we were both trying to be considerate and find out whether it was okay for us to post about our podcasts on the Horror Etc. Facebook page.
Yes. We weren't just spamming. We were trying to see if it was okay, and we got permission. And then Eric noticed that I was doing this podcast alone. He said, "Hey, Phil, if you need a co-host, I'll help you out." And we did our first episode on Rear Window. Alfred Hitchcock.
That's right. It was episode 10, right?
Yep. 10 or 11. Yeah. It was one of those. Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, you guys are old.
Sure was. And then episode 30 is when we became me, you, and Mike and stuff. So, yeah. And then now 10 and a half years. It's crazy.
Now we're just fucking old.
Yeah. And one of the episodes I just edited that's coming out either tomorrow or next week or something, or it may have just actually even came out. Oh, yeah. Actually, it's coming out Monday, the Flash Gordon Cinema a la carte episode. Mike rags on you, Eric, saying we've all done about 500 to 700 podcasts, but Eric's done probably 2,000.
Well, I don't know about 2,000. I'm definitely over 1,000. I don't think I'm approaching 2 yet.
Yeah, because Eric's done this podcast, and he's done another podcast, which he'll discuss at the end of this episode. And then, of course, the television series episodes. And whenever Westworld comes back, you'll be doing another one. So
we'll see. Oh, God. I forgot that's still a possibility.
Yeah.
Is suicide an option?
I don't know. Well, if it was as crazy as last season, I don't know. Figure it out. Oh, anyway. Right. Eric, what else can people find at www.darkdiscussions.com?
Well, on each page, they can find a link to our Patreon account. Patreon is a service that allows you to financially contribute to online artists like us. Producing the show is not free. We, and by we, I mean Phil, have to pay for a bunch of stuff to get this show out, including computer equipment and server fees and web hosting and movie rentals and all that kind of stuff. So if you would like to help us off... If you'd like to help us offset the cost of producing this show, that's how you can do it. You can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions. And for every $5 a month that you contribute, you'll have the opportunity to submit a topic for us to possibly do on the show. We take all the submissions from our patrons and we draw one on a quarterly basis to do a show about. So if that's something that would interest you, you can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions or follow the link on any page of darkdiscussions.com.
All right, very good, very good. And tonight we actually are going to pick a movie for our Patreon folk, and I do have the randomizer here. So one
this always scares me, man, because these selections that people send in are wide and varied.
That's true. Tomorrow, actually, our episode for John Wick comes out, which was one of the selections, and that was a good one. Yeah. Yeah, so here we go. So I'm going to press generate here. All right. Well, number 132. So let's see what 132 is. Yeah, we did have that weird Western. You remember that with Johnny Depp? That was
Don't remind me.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yes, that was.
Fade to black.
That was silly. That was silly. Yeah, that was silly. All right. So here we go. So we got where is it? Bad Moon.
Bad Moon. Is that the one with a werewolf movie?
Yeah,
I heard the title, but I forget who's in it.
I think that's the one with Hemingway. Yeah, let me see. All right, so Bad Moon.
Is there a Christina Ricci one out there?
Yeah, Mario Hemingway. Yeah, that's Cursed, I think it's called.
Cursed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but this is Bad Moon, 1996, starring Mario Hemingway.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, Michael Parry, Mason Gamble, Ken Pogue. It's got a Blu-ray release recently, too. So
what the hell? I'm just looking at the credits on IMDb. Somebody named Primo is credited as playing Thor. That must be Dog.
Well, Thor, that's probably true. It is probably Dog. But Thor is a normal first name in Scandinavian nations.
That's true. That is true.
Yes, yeah. It is. Yeah. All right. So that's actually a good one because I do have the Blu-ray. I bought it like 8 months ago and never have watched it. Now I have a reason to watch it.
Cool. So,
yeah, and I like Meryl Hemingway. She's always been good back in the day.
So, I don't know much of her stuff.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, it's... When we were younger. So
yeah. Michael Perry too. Interesting.
Yeah, I've heard that name. I'm sure I know him if I've seen him. Yeah. Anyway, that's what it is. So we'll try to get that one out soon. Usually I know Eric's good to go with werewolf films, so it may be a good
one. Yeah, they're my out of zombies, vampires, and werewolves, I'll choose werewolves any day.
Yeah,
indeed. Yeah.
Well, and the reason you know Perry's name is because he was like in the Philadelphia Experiment, I think.
Mm. Yeah, I just looked
some
him
other
up
stuff. And, yeah.
Yeah, I know the face. Yeah. So.
Streets of Fire. I think that's all I remember.
Oh, Streets of Fire. I got that. I bought that on Blu-ray about 8 months ago too, and I never watched it. So
I don't know if that movie has a theme song, but if it doesn't, it should, and it's good. Streets of Fire.
Indeed. Indeed, that works for me. All right,
you are in a perfect mood tonight, Eric.
Well, that's a good thing.
I'm loopy from lack of sleep.
I like it. You need to be loopy more often.
Yeah, Yeah, yeah. I'm going to start sending you Red Bulls.
Oh, nice, nice.
All right, so I think that's pretty much our intro. And before we do begin, this is October 14th, 2021, that we are recording this, Thursday, so literally the mid-month of October, our Halloween month. And the reason we're doing that is because sometimes these episodes do not come out right away. Sometimes we wait a few months, depending on editing and if more interesting. Whatever. If like, you know, an interesting topic pops up, we just put it out real quick and stuff. But yeah, yeah, I'm getting through the backlog now because
there was a period of time where Phil was just in editing hell because he was having technical issues on an old machine that he didn't realize were happening while we were recording. So he would end up with audio files that had all these spaces in them, like pauses that didn't actually happen. That was because of a technical error, not because people weren't actually talking at the time. So you'd have to go through and try and cut all those out and still have an intelligible audio track. And God bless you for getting through that, Phil.
Yes, yes. We have no more of those, thank God. So that is fantastic. So we are releasing older episodes coming up. Slacks is coming up in a couple of weeks. And The Vanishing, the Christopher Smith film. That,
oh, my God. We talked about that a while ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then that Japanese film, too. The Call, I think it's called.
That was coming. Wow, that was from last year.
Yeah, yeah. I've been able to get into listening to the podcast in the background as I'm working. And I've been cranking through the editing really nice. Easy. Because, yeah, there's not many things I have to do except cut out Mike's inappropriate comments.
Or my crazy rantings.
Well, you only had one or two of those. Mike, every episode has a...
Usually he says something that we don't want to be said.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, so that's pretty much the opening, and I think we can get into our topic tonight. So, Eric, why don't you let everybody know what we're going to discuss tonight?
Oh, I lost my page. There we go. Tonight we're going to be talking about the new movie currently available to rent on VOD starring Nicolas Cage, Prisoners of the Ghostland.
My granddaughter has been lost to us. I would have her return to me post-haste. And you, sir, I am told, are the man to do the job. Each arm is equipped with an explosive device. Your trousers are also equipped with explosives.
Really?
Just beyond the point where we now stand lies a highway where evil reigns.
What is this?
At the end of 5 days, if you have not returned with Benice, well, I think you get the idea, son. Godspeed.
This is the Ghostland, a land of no escape. We are not the ones who hold her captive. It's been 2 days, and still she is missing.
How do I get out of here?
You must surrender to fate. No one escapes the Ghostland. No one!
I'm not a prisoner!
That's right. Prisoners of the Ghostland is actually an interesting film because the film is directed by one of the great movie directors of Japanese gonzo film, Sion Sono, who has done a number of films that are well known even in the United States, including Buying Beast and Kill a Dwarf, The Suicide Club, Cold Fish, and my personal favorite, Guilty of Romance, especially the extended edition of the film, which is like almost 3 hours. It's a serial killer film, and it stars his wife, who is basically nude the entire film, and she's incredible.
Now we know.
She is like crazy good looking, like, yes. But either way, so he's well known.
How to look up porn on the internet like a regular person.
Yeah. She has healthy lungs, put it that way. Anyway, the film is actually is a curiosity. It's written by two folks, and one of them is a guy named Aaron Hendry, who's mostly an actor. This is his first writing credit. But more interesting, and Barrett will appreciate this, the other screenwriter is Reza Sixo Safai, who was the crazy evil brother in the movie that we just did an episode on in June called Circumstance.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so that is kind of interesting. Circumstance was an episode of the Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews podcast during the Pride Month, where we did 4 lesbian films, art house films, and Circumstance was one of them for volume 25 of the podcast. So he was one of the stars of that film, and he played one mean motherfucker.
Yes, he did.
Yes. In this film here, it's very curious because you have a Japanese director who's well known in Japan, some interesting screenwriters, as we know here, and then, of course, Nicolas Cage. The cast is a huge cast of international figures, including Nicolas Cage, Bill Moseley, Tak Sakaguchi, Nick Cassavetes, the son of Gloria Lowlands, and John Cassavetes, among many, many other folks. And a lot of the Japanese folks I've actually seen in multiple Japanese films. Also, Sophia Boutella is in the film too, and she's been in a number of American films, and we probably best know her from Atomic Blonde. She played Charlize Theron's girlfriend in that film.
She's also in the first Kingsman movie. She's Samuel Jackson's sidekick.
Wasn't she also in one of the Star Trek movies?
Yes, she played the alien that was like...
Can't recognize her really
too
much.
Yeah, you can't recognize her. And then she was also in Tom Cruise's The Mummy. She played
That's one of the very few movies I've ever had to just stop.
I did not stop it, but it was definitely not very good.
Yeah. It's kind of weird, too, because, Cinema a la Carte has almost become a Tom Cruise
podcast. Yeah, not that one, please.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, so.
It might be one of his worst films.
It's really bad.
Yeah. I think he took too much a hand in it, and it just kind of...
Anyway, so that's all the folks behind this and in front of the screen. That's pretty much all I got there. But I do recommend anybody who likes Sion Sono definitely see my most favorite film by him, once again called Guilty of Romance. It's on Blu-ray, as a matter of fact, by Olive. I think they released it. I can't remember.
No, I only have one disc from Olive, but it's a good one.
Is it subtitled?
Oh, Bound. You have Bound, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, it's subtitled. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if it has a non-subtitled track, but it's definitely subtitled. I watched it subtitled.
I don't mind watching them. I just have to plan for it.
Yeah, it was. It's a film that I had on the agenda as possibly a Halloween boutique or a cinema a la carte, as a matter of fact. It's that good. It's a long film, so I haven't suggested it yet and whatnot. But either way, let's get into how we heard about this film and what we thought about it. So Eric brought it to our attention. So Eric, why don't you start?
Yeah,
I want to take a moment here. If you'll recall, earlier in this year, you forced me to watch Willy's Wonderland against my will, starring Nicolas Cage. So I just want to let you know that this you should pay attention to this, because if you force me to watch wacko Nicolas Cage movies, I can return the favor. So there you go. Revenge is mine!
Vengeance!
Well, what's funny is this is the third Nick Cage movie this year, and it went okay, then really good, and now this. which I can't categorize.
This, whatever this is. So I just saw this as I was browsing through stuff, and I was like, this looks a little wacky. I'll just throw it out there. And honestly, I was expecting you guys to shoot it down, but you didn't. And this is hilarious.
I'm pretty much willing to go in any film, believe it or not.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So here, my thoughts on this movie. This movie is unlike anything else I've seen. I didn't hate it, but I can't say I loved it either. It is really strange. I mean, it is so strange. It's a lot of it's spoken in Japanese, but then some of it isn't. And I kind of understand the plot, but when you're watching this, you're just like, what is going on? I mean, I can put it all together in my head now that I've been through the whole thing, but there are certain scenes that begin and you're watching it just going, oh, now what is this? So I can recommend this as a curiosity, as a one of a kind viewing experience. I don't think I can go so far as to call it a good movie, but it's unique. So if you enjoy unique experiences, watch this. If you like wacko, crazy Nick Cage, you might enjoy this as well. If you're not too fond of either of those things and you like solid movies with very clear plots that make a lot of sense and fantastic acting, you might want to look elsewhere. So those are my thoughts on Prisoners of a Ghost Land. Didn't love it. Didn't hate it. I definitely laughed out loud several times during this movie. I'm hoping that the comedic element of this movie was intentional. Because I think that is its most valuable aspect, is making me laugh. So those are my thoughts on Prisoners of a Ghost Land.
All right, sounds good. For me, I heard about this film because of Eric, as a matter of fact, which is kind of surprising because I do follow Sion Sono because of Guilty of Romance, though I can't say that I've enjoyed the other couple of films I've seen of his because, again, he's like totally gonzo cinema, like really weird. Guilty of Romance was more straightforward art house drama, mystery and all that type of stuff. But either way, the film is oddly called Weird Western Science Fiction Horror Adventure Action Crime Gonzo Film.
So, fair enough.
So yeah, right when I press play after purchasing it on Apple, and it does have extras. I haven't bothered watching the extras yet, but it doesn't surprise me because Sono is like huge internationally, that his film would get those extras. I saw all these weird colors in a bank, I said, okay, this is going to be one of those films. And I immediately had to look up the director, and sure enough, because I went in blind, I didn't even know who directed it, and it was Sono. I was like, oh my God, it's going to be one of those films. And sure enough, it is. It's a completely surreal film. It's not a mainstream film by any means. And it is like, has that oddball, weird B-movie and grindhouse feel that Japanese movies usually do, that you know when you really like Takashi's films and stuff like that. So it's really crazy. I'm probably where you are, Eric, which is I can't say I loved the film, and I can't say I hated the film. I don't know what I think of the film. Honestly, I do wish it was more of a mainstream type of film. I wasn't in the mood to watch one of these Japanese gonzo films, but it is what it is. And it will have its fans. And if you like crazy midnight movies, this film could work for you. Just make sure that you know that it is doesn't have a normal plot. All in all, yeah, it's all right. Yeah, that's pretty much all I can say. Let's go with you, Barrett.
This film is whack. It's a weird amalgam of cowboy, samurai, Japanese manga type film in live action that just is really wild. I mean, it's got some interesting color choices throughout the film that I actually like. I like some of the color work in this movie. It's got definitely a surreal feel to it. And there's moments where I just cracked up. I'm hoping those moments were on purpose. Some were not because they were funny to me. Some were because that's just insane. And when I got done watching it, I don't know how I felt about it. There's some sick part of me that really liked this film. And then there's the other part of me that said, what the hell did I just watch? I'm glad I didn't buy it, although part of me wants to buy it so I can watch it again. I guess I'm a glutton for punishment. There's just something about this film that I won't say I dislike. It just doesn't hit me right. And then there's another something about this film that does. And I also find it interesting that you can see the how the atomic bomb just fills the collective consciousness of the Japanese society. So
oh, yeah, started with Godzilla.
Yeah, I mean, it really is out there in this. So, yeah, I don't know that I'd give it a yes, go see it. If you want to watch something really weird, it can fit into that category very easily.
Indeed, indeed. Amy Rain already was convinced by your crazy post that I'm going to see this movie now. And I was like, oh,
sir.
Yeah. So yeah, God bless her if she does. And I just don't know what to say.
Yeah, another friend of mine was like, "Ooh, I'm looking for something weird." And I was like, "Well, if you want to pay to have pain, then this is your movie." But not, you could wait for it to be free.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, actually I think that's what you said, or you said it, or someone said it, that, you know, wait until it's free. And I think it may have been you, Barrett. Yeah. So, but, you know, it is what it is. All right. So, yeah. So I guess we're all pretty much the same level, which is we have no idea what we watch, never mind what we feel about it. So
I will say this movie has two of the most interesting deliveries of the word testicle I've ever heard.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was it. Yeah, and a terrible thing that happened too.
I feel like this movie had a message, but I don't understand it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think
scenes.
Yeah, I think it's keeping me from really liking it because I don't understand what it was trying to say, and I feel like it was trying to say something.
Yeah,
I think it was trying to say Nicolas Cage is insane and we'd like to pay him for it.
Yeah. I mean, Sono's films, I mean, they're nuts like this. So it was perfect casting. Perfect casting. For him. All right. So, Eric, do we have a wiki for this?
Wiki. A notorious criminal must break an evil curse in order to rescue an abducted girl who has mysteriously disappeared.
All right. Was it really curse? When I hear curse, yeah. I usually think supernatural.
I mean, it kind of was.
In a way.
I guess it kind of was.
Yeah, it was like RoboCop.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a curse that somebody put on her. It was like a place that put it on her. Does that make sense?
The whole thing is whack.
Yeah, nothing makes sense, Barrett. Nothing makes sense.
That's very true.
Yeah. But anyway, it's fair enough. It's fair enough. All right. So for folks who are new to the podcast, we are a podcast that not only reviews films, but we also dissect and critique. So at a certain point, we will throw up the spoiler alert, and we will talk about anything and everything related to the film as we please. But before then, we just generally talk normal, random stuff that are related to this. So let's get into that. The first thing is,
well, and Phil, just tonight, I'd like to specify that, even if you're interested in watching this movie, I really don't think if it matters if you follow us past the spoiler flag, because even if we talk about everything, it's not going to make any sense, and you got to see it.
It is not going to make sense. It's almost not linear.
Yeah, I actually had to read the wiki after watching the film to see what the hell I just watched, because I was like,
what? I got most of it, I think.
Yeah,
me too.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. So, generally, is this one of Nicolas Cage's nuts films?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. He actually has a quote that said that, I think.
I got that off IMDb.
Yeah, that was you that said it, Eric. Yeah.
Nicolas Cage just said, this is one of the craziest films he said it's probably the craziest film he's ever made, and that's saying something.
What was impressive is all the actors took it seriously.
Uh-huh.
That was impressive to me, you know, and Bill Moseley, he's just awesome. He's perfect in that role.
Like I said, Sono is like huge, so he's not just like some scrub indie director. So he was going to have a tight fist and make sure that everybody, you know, was on board.
The production of this movie got all messed up because it might have been the director who had a heart attack. So all the plans had to change. And instead of shooting in Mexico, which was the original plan, they had to move it to Japan.
Oh.
And because of that, a couple of people dropped out. I know that Imogene Poots was originally cast to play the role that Sophia Boutella played in this movie.
Oh.
And
that's true.
The location, she bailed.
Interesting.
Yeah, she's good too. Yeah, and you're right. Yeah, Sono was hospitalized and underwent emergency surgery following a heart attack, temporarily halting pre-production on the film. And the film was begun in 2018 and 2019. So that alone caused the delay. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So Poots bailed. Huh? That's too bad. But it is what it is. So. Yeah, I did not know about the behind-the-scenes craziness. And that's interesting that Sono had a heart attack, because he's not that old. He's 59. So, but maybe he's a partier. You know, he lives it up hard. Who knows?
Yeah, well, you know, it can happen at any age. The
that's true.
The lead guitarist for Judas Priest just had his aorta rupture while he was on stage recently. And that is very dangerous.
Replace
the old guy, so he was only in his 40s.
Yeah, you could die instantly from that.
He's very lucky that he didn't.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's what John Ritter died of.
Yep.
Yeah. Some sort of aneurysm, heart attack out of the blue. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. So, Sono, yeah. You know.
Stay away from the red meat, people.
Yeah, so hopefully his health is better. Yeah, I did not know that. Let's see what else. What about Sono? Has anybody else seen any of his films, or I'm the only one that has seen?
The only one. Well, I shouldn't speak for Barrett.
I have not seen his films that I know of.
Then I was right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I have Suicide Club, but I've never watched it. And then, like I said, I watched Cold Fish.
Oh wait, is Suicide Club is him? I may have seen.
That's him. Yeah, that's him. Yep. That's when all the people jump. Yeah, exactly. They all jump.
Yeah.
So the trailers are pretty awesome. Fuck trailers. But yeah. But I haven't seen that one. I should probably see that one now, because that was supposed to be pretty good. That was part of the first wave of Japanese horror was Suicide Club back, you know, with the Ring and all that. That was one of the films. Let's see. Bill Moseley. He's usually, I was actually surprised that it was him. I didn't know it was him until he started speaking. And it's like, holy, is that Bill Moseley? Because he's always known as now, unfortunately for some of us, when he's in a film, it's usually just a payday type of film, you know, for the name, you know. And so I was like, okay, it's not going to be good. But then I said, oh, it's a Sono film. So he must have thought did something with it. And yeah, Mosley was good. Like you said, Barrett, he was pretty solid.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's pretty good in this film. And he had a pretty big role. Anything else anybody wanted to bring up? General stuff.
I'll just say I agree with Barrett about the use of color in this movie. I thought there were some really just popping colored motion scenes that weren't really important as far as what was happening, but were really visually interesting to witness.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bank robbery especially with like all the women had different color dresses, and they weren't like just bland colors. They were like bright fluorescent colors. And then all the gumballs.
All the gumballs.
Exploding gumball machine. And
yeah.
I thought that was really interesting.
I actually found the bank robbery the most interesting part of the movie. I liked it the most.
Yeah.
Interesting in that we got to see it kind of from one angle the first time and then from a different angle the second time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's showing true. Us that what we thought had happened wasn't really what happened.
Yeah. The first time we see it, it's almost as if we're just a fly on a wall. And then the second time we see it, which is the flashback, we find out we see it more through our hero's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to see the very beginning and the very end. So it really fills it out a lot. So I like that too, Eric. And that's pretty much the pivotal part of the whole film, really, when you think about it.
Yeah. Well, it makes you wonder about the rest of the film and what's real and what's not real.
Right. Well, I honestly thought the whole thing was not real, because there is no bank that's going to be completely white. There's not going to be 20 women with all different color fluorescent dresses.
That's funny. I think that part's real, but the rest.
Well, it is all real, but because the whole movie is one of those surreal films. But when I saw it at the beginning, I didn't know what the heck was going on, because this isn't real. You know, you don't find places like this in real life. And like I said, that's when I stopped the film and I looked and I said, oh, it's a Sono film. Okay, there you go. So that was an interesting use of color. So I'm right. I'm thirding that, Eric. Thirding that? I don't know if that's a word, but
it is now.
It is now. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I've used worse words and pronunciation too. So it's okay. So what else do we want to bring up? I guess we could talk about it's like a post-apocalypse kind of post.
I don't know what it is, Phil.
It's post-disaster.
I don't know. I don't know where they are. I don't think it's a real place. I don't understand the significance of it. And I think where they are in the beginning is different than where Nick Cage goes to. And I don't know.
I think it could be an actual ghost land,
and that's not where they are in the beginning. But it's where the movie ends, and I'm not sure what it's called, or if anybody actually lives there, or if it was just like Bill Mosley and his crew.
I think we might actually be inside Nick Cage's actual mind.
You think so?
No, I'm just joking.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to dismiss any theories on this movie.
Yeah, I'll read the first sentence without one spoiler in it from the actual wiki. And again, this is somewhere in the future, similar to like Looper, I think, where internationalism is more, or globalism is more huge. So you have Americans and other ethnicities all over the place. And so it says in a region of Japan devastated and quarantined years ago in an accident in which highly volatile nuclear waste was spilled after a crash between the waste transport vehicle and a prison bus. A settlement called Samurai Town is ruled by a governor who has blended elements of Japanese society, both modern and pre-modern, as well as the old American West together. And that's all I'll read.
Otherwise, okay, so Samurai Town is where we start.
Yep.
Yeah, so Samurai Town is where the main village is, and then the wasteland to find the missing granddaughter is called the Ghostland. And that's the place where all the poor and the diseased and whatnot. So it's kind of like Samurai Town is like this hedonist place like you see in like Hunger Games or something. And then the Wasteland is the Wasteland where all the... At least that's what I'm thinking. I mean, I could be completely wrong.
So, no, I think you're right. I didn't know the name of Samurai Town.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, it's weird. Like you said, Eric, it's in Japanese subtitled and then it's in English, but then there's parts where they're speaking and there is no subtitles. And then people speak a second time, either in English or Japanese with subtitles explaining what was just said.
Right. That was very confusing.
Very. Yeah.
Particularly since I had subtitles on, and they just didn't show for that one woman that was speaking Japanese. There were just no subtitles. You just had to wait for her, whoever those women were, to repeat it for her. I was like, this is weird.
Indeed. And the subtitles are a little hard because, unfortunately, these are the white subtitles, and it's not like the yellow subtitles that are much better where you can see. So
there's a white back. Another issue.
All right, that's good for you. Yeah, I've had some problems with I had to stop it for a second here or there. What else? The film also had random singing every so often, too.
I know that bugs you. I don't understand why it bugs you so much, but it bugs you more than it bugs me.
Fair enough. In this film, it doesn't bug me that much because the whole film's just gonzo crazy.
Anyway. Right. The whole thing's wacko anyway. Well, it's a little singing.
Yeah, it fits in for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, people would just suddenly randomly sing about history or a story. And it's like, you know, that wouldn't happen in real life. But again, this isn't real life.
I'll start doing that on the podcast. I watched this really crazy movie.
I think, you know what, that would irritate Mike more than anybody else. So that means you should do it. All right, basically what it is Nicolas Cage did a bank robbery with a guy named Psycho, who was played by Cassavetes. They get arrested.
Psycho does what Psycho is named after.
Yeah. And so he's in prison and he gets a deal by the governor, played by Bill Moseley, where the governor's granddaughter, along with two other women, leave Samurai Town without permission. And at this time, we're assuming that he's concerned about his granddaughter and he needs someone to go out into the wasteland or ghostland, if you prefer, to go find her and rescue her and bring her back to Samurai Town. At least that's the setup, I think. Am I right?
Yeah.
And then basically, just similar to Escape from New York, he is injected, and not rather than being injected, he's forced to wear this suit that turns into basically an explosion suit where there's two little bombs.
It has two little exploders on the throat, two little exploders on the arms, and two one exploder next to each testicule, as Bill Mosley said.
Yeah. That's right. And so he has 2 days to find the granddaughter, and then the granddaughter. Oh, is it? Okay. And then, well, I thought it was two, and then the granddaughter has to speak.
Yeah, it's three and then two, but it doesn't really matter.
Okay, so it's the other way around. I was going to say two and three, but yeah, three and two.
Andy can't touch her, like threaten her or think sexually of her.
Right.
So where the bombs will go off.
He can't use violence on her, and he and she cannot become lovers because in either case, this little bombs will see his heartbeat or whatever, and then they'll explode. So yeah, that's it. So that the suit is so he doesn't escape, he has to come back.
Yeah, it's locked with a key.
Yeah, exactly. So kind of similar to, like I said, Escape from New York, which is, you know, how do you know I'm not just going to fly this plane, you know, towards Iceland? Well, because if you do, you blow up. So same kind of deal here. All right, so. What else do we want to talk about before we get into the spoilers?
Yeah, let's just throw up the spoiler flag because it doesn't really matter anyway.
Yeah.
And who knows how long we're going to even talk about the film, too. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't know. But yeah, all right. So the spoiler is up. Folks have been warned. If you are interested in this film, you'll have to rent it because that's all you can do at this time. And I will state that if you do purchase it, you do get extras on iTunes. Eric, did you purchase this or did you rent it?
No, I rented it. I always look and see what if there's extras before I make that decision. And the extras just didn't look like it was all that much. So I passed and just rented it.
Gotcha. Yeah, I haven't even opened up the extras to see if it's anything good or just, you know, like a 10-minute box.
It's like a making of featurette and that's it.
Gotcha. So it's not like
no commentary or anything like that.
Gotcha.
That's generally what I look for in extras. If there's a commentary, I'll usually purchase it.
Yeah, that's what I did with Seance, the Simon Barrett film. That one had a commentary, and that was a damn good commentary. All right, so spoilers up, so we can talk about everything and anything. Did you guys know that the governor was actually a villain at the beginning? I was surprised.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you get it? Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, but
bad guys wear black.
Yeah, and but we also find out that he has many granddaughters, and none of them are really his granddaughters. They're sex slaves.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this guy's
bad man.
Yeah. And so he wants his sex slave back, is basically really what it is, not his granddaughter. All right, so what do we want to talk about? Where do we want to go? We can talk about anything and everything because the movie makes no sense. We could start anywhere.
Well, there were a few moments I enjoyed. Yep. And one was when he gives Nick Cage the keys to a car. he starts to drive off and stops and pops out and starts riding a bicycle.
And they get all mad at him. I love it.
Guys surrounding Bill Mosley are like, oh, that's so cool. What a badass. And at that point, I just started laughing. I'm like, okay, this movie is just not going to make any sense.
You can't put the bell on the bike.
Right. And the bike wasn't, I mean, it's a big bike, so it's not like, you know, one of the smaller BMXs or something. But it's not like a racer's bike, so.
It had like a basket, didn't it, on the front?
And he's driving away in it, and it's like wobbly, and it's on a dirt road, and it's like, oh my god, this is like, I don't know if I'm supposed to laugh or.
I hope you were supposed to laugh at that because I sure did.
Yeah.
Well, I like it even better when they catch up to him with the car, and he's like, "Oh, we're in a hurry, huh?"
right.
And then he gets in the car and goes.
He says, "All right, fine, I'll take the car." yeah, because the second in command of Samurai Town is the guy that brings the car to him. And he kind of, interesting, even though he's a villain too, he has respect for our hero, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy's name is Yasujiro. Yasujiro is the number two in command. And he is played by Tak Sakaguchi. Look at this, Eric. Emo Jim Poots, she was supposed to be in it. Anyway, so what, I guess, you know what, that shows defiance.
I'll say that one thing that is probably the most confusing to me about this movie is the timeline. Because on one hand, we see the bank robbery at the beginning, and then we see Nick Cage has been captured. So it seems like those two things go together in a pretty quick sequence, right? Close together in time.
I think it's pretty far. Well, if it's got to be a few years past, because I think that girl that gets shot.
Oh, you're right.
Escaping the bank is her. The girl he's going after, and she's much older now.
Oh, I didn't put that together.
Yeah, and you know, even though the actress is 39 years old in real life and probably 37, 36 when she filmed this, you can't tell, you know. I mean, she could be anywhere between 18 to 50. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't tell anymore. And so you're right, Barrett. So we can assume, because the little girl in the flashback that gets shot, which is the girl he has to go rescue, is now, or I should say at that time, looked like she was like maybe 8, 9, 10 years old, maybe.
Yeah.
11, maybe, at the oldest. So we're assuming that she's now in her 20s at the youngest. And, you know, we could, if we want to go with the actress's real age, you know, we could, at the time of the filming, we're talking like 36, 37. So
I did not realize that was the same person. That's why I was confused.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Because I was like, so he just got captured a couple days after the bank robbery, but now he's going back to this ghost land place where all these people have been trapped forever by the specter of Psycho, who got crashed in the prison bus after he'd been captured from the bank robbery, which was just 2 days ago. So how did that happen? That's why I was confused.
Well, and you don't find that out till what, midway through the movie, that she was shot and that she's, you know, that girl. So it is pretty far into it. So it is confusing timeline, because that's what I thought until that very moment, was that it was just like, hey, a few days later, I'm going to free you to do this.
Right. That's why I was so confused, because I didn't understand how he got captured and almost immediately sent off to rescue this person. And then that whole Ghostland area had been kind of imprisoned by the bus, right? That got blown up in the accident.
Right.
I was like, how did that happen if it was just the bank robbery 2 days ago? But it wasn't. So now I understand.
Yeah, and that's a fair point, because the timeline, I mean, there is no thing that says, you know, 15 years later or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And nothing in the flashback to what we see of Nicolas Cage in prison shows any, like, difference. He looks the same. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like they grayed his hair out or something. So it kind of does make sense that, oh, yeah, maybe this is just, you know, 5 days later, you know.
Yeah.
So that's a fair point.
Although Barry got it, so I'll just accept that I'm dumb.
Right. Yeah. Well, I got it because I
oh, wait a second. That was a backhanded compliment. Barry got it, so.
These are dumb. Oh, yeah,
that's terrible. Barry got it. It must be obvious. I made it like that.
Yeah, I that wasn't intentional. But it was funny. But I didn't know either. I actually had to read the wiki, and that's when I understood that, oh, okay, that little girl that got shot. And what happened was her parents die during the shootout. That's how the governor gets her as a sex
slave. Gotcha. Okay.
Oh, I got to say, one of the other scenes I love, the Gatling gun.
The girl that...
Susie?
Yeah, Susie, that's her name, yeah.
One of the other granddaughters.
Yeah, one of the sex slaves. She kind of says, that's it, I'm all done here. And she kind of shoots down a bunch of the governor's, I guess, hitmen or lackeys, yeah, goons, whatever you want to call them. Yeah, that actress, she's the one that I've seen in a number of Japanese films.
Gotcha.
Yazuka Nakaya. Nakaya. Yazuka Nakaya. And she always plays like those weird, crazy people too.
Mm-hmm. Kind of
interesting. So yeah, that was pretty cool scene, the Gatling gun scene. The execution scene of Stella was a pretty interesting scene. Where she's roped up.
Yeah.
And going to chop her head off and stuff. And the number two in command, whether or not he's going to do it, is he going to be evil or is he going to rebel and say, I'm not doing this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was an interesting scene, and it was really filmed well too, like very dramatic. Go on.
I was going to say, there's another thing that kind of reminds me of some of the bloody death scenes. Lone Wolf and Cub kind of reminds me of that, if anyone's seen that, because those have some crazy bloody chopping off the head and blood just spurts from the neck, those types of scenes.
Yeah, is that a Japanese anime, or is it also?
It's a live action, yeah.
It's live action as well? Okay.
Yeah. Lone Wolf and Cub. It's pretty good.
You seen that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, look. Yeah, so yeah, those are from 1972, 73. Yeah, you're right. A bunch of those interesting films. So it's kind of that type of violence.
Yes. Like when he that one person gets stabbed in the throat and their head is kind of inside of a something and you just see blood going everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That scene and some others like it. It's just kind of reminiscent of that type of lone wolf.
Kind of reminded me of Kill Bill.
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's intentional because Kill Bill was specifically supposed to be, Tarantino's nod to those crazy Japanese films, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Because that film, those films, when you really look at it too, those are all surreal as well, you know?
They are, yeah. They're not quite as whack. They're not as whack. That is for sure. But they are interestingly surreal.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, that's actually a good comparison. So folks who like Kill Bill, it's kind of like that with
on acid.
Right, but on acid, because it's like all this post-apocalypse nuclear wastelands and all that, you know. But so think Kill Bill in the wastelands, you know.
I will say that the suit that Nick Cage was wearing in this movie, I expected the explosives to be a little more powerful than they were.
Me too. I'm glad they weren't, because we wouldn't have had a story, because he couldn't control himself.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, like, particularly the one on the arm, when it went off, it really didn't look that bad. But, you know, I will say my absolute favorite moment of the entire movie is when Nick Cage climbs up onto the stairs to try and motivate everybody to leave the ghost land. And they're like, it's impossible. And he goes, well, one week ago, if you told me that I'd be standing here with one arm and one testicle. I was not ready for that, and I lost my shit. Like, I seriously had to, like, when I was done laughing, rewind a minute, because I had no idea what he said after that, because I was laughing so hard.
I had to do the same thing.
It's the most Nick Cage moment of the entire movie, and it was glorious.
There were a few times where I had to rewind to go, wait, what the hell? Did I miss something?
He randomly paused and decided to scream the word testicle. It made me laugh so hard.
Well, and it kind of mimics his manic look when it first gets blown off and he's holding it in his hand.
Oh, that was gross. Right.
Oh, it, my.
I mean, Sion Sono, you know, he's been associated with some of these weird shit, like Blind Beast versus Kill a Dwarf and Tokyo Gore Police, where he, you know, did acting roles in these films. And those films are like insane. I haven't seen them, but they're supposed to be as insane as this film. So it doesn't surprise me about that, actually. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. That's why Cage was perfect for the role, because, you know, he's going to do these gonzo nut crazy things, holding a testicle and then screaming testicle after a pause and all this other stuff. And
also, just like at the beginning, right before he zips up the suit, like he's got that crazy wacky smile on his face, and he's like lunging at the samurais to make them flinch. What are you doing, man?
Right. Yeah, and also, the suit itself, I did not know they were going to go there. I thought it was going to be like just, you know, in the, I didn't know it was really going to be a Chekhov's testicle blow up.
Chekhov's exploding testicle.
Right. Oh, I was hilarious. Not expecting it. I was not expecting it. But Chekhov was there. He was ready for the bullets.
I thought it was interesting that only one of the testicles exploded. I thought they would both go at the same time.
Yeah, I didn't think they'd actually blow up a testicle. I can say that. So it was a little surprising, but, you know.
Right. Well, when they blew up the first, I said, okay, something's going to happen where it's going to blow up the second later, but that was just a... a red herring. Or
I just think he did a pretty job of walking it off.
He did. He did.
Seemed to bother him for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if that was like a what is it? What do they call them? Rocky oysters, Colorado oysters, or whatever they call them. And what do they call them?
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I'm wondering if they just. Yeah, I know, but I mean, I wonder if they were real testicles that, you know, because they were gonna, that were supposed to be food, and they said, "Oh, we'll just
doubt it."
You know, what's the ones in Scotland they call them? I forget what they call them in Scotland too. I don't know, something. They eat them up there too. But
McDonald's, thank you.
Yeah, me too. yeah, but yeah, that was pretty. When they showed him the testicle actually in his hand, I was like, oh no. I was like in pain.
Well, the way he was dancing around screaming though was hilarious.
It was hilarious. That was a Nicolas Cage film. That, I mean, that was the moment that you're like, okay, this is Nicolas Cage. And
right. This is why he's in this movie.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Exactly.
How many actors can do that testicle scene? Come on.
Not very many, actually.
Right. Well, and they can't do it the way Nicolas Cage can do it. You know, right. all you have to do is watch the Wicker Man remake, and there you go. And you say, oh, he can do it. He can do it. Wicker Man.
Oh,
the bees
and the bear.
I wonder if anybody does that to him on the street.
I know, that would be awesome.
The bees.
Oh my god, if you ever did a convention, that would be awesome. Everybody scream the bees. Though this testicle line could be the next one that people should say to him on the street.
Testicle!
and another one too is put the Fruit Loops on his face and let, you know, glue them on or something.
You know what? I recorded. Let me see if I can get my Bluetooth thing to work here and I can play the actual clip.
Oh, that'll be great.
That's awesome. Yeah, you can just enter that in your.
Can you hear that?
Yes.
Now hear this, Grosslanders. Tomorrow, getting out of here.
Impossible!
It's impossible.
Impossible! Ha! If you had told me 3 days ago I'd be standing here with one arm and one. Testicle! Trying to reason with you, bitches! I would have said impossible too. But I'm telling you, there's a way.
There is no way.
Yes, there is. And if we don't stop them, they'll break free. They'll roam the world, terrorizing and killing. We'll be their prisoners forever.
What are you afraid? It's just telling the time. I mean, you can stay here, suffer, survive. I don't have the time. I got one day to tear this shit apart. Well, you can either help me or rot. I would have said impossible too.
Oh my god,
dude, you gotta add that to your mixing board so it'll be one of your songs. That's awesome. Jesus, that was terrible. That scene hurt me more than. Anytime I see someone get their fingernail pulled off.
What? Really? Okay.
Yeah. No, dude, the testicle blowing up and then he's holding it. I was like, ah.
Well, the thing is, I've actually had fingernails pry off partially, so I kind of actually know what that feels like. Never had a testicle explode, so I don't know what that feels like.
And I don't want to know, ever.
Nor do I.
No, yeah, that would be terrible. Yeah. All right, so... what else? Oh, so Psycho survives the nuclear crash where his bus crashes into the transport and he becomes basically one of them RoboCop.
Now, was he actually alive or was he a Spectre?
What's your definition of Spectre? Explain that.
Like, I thought they might be ghosts.
Yeah, that's kind of what it felt like to me, too.
Because, like, the bus kind of shows up out of nowhere when needed.
And disappears whenever needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a fair point. Well, let's see what it says here. Psycho. Let's see where he says psycho. They're mutants is what it says here. Aided by Psycho and the mutants. But
all right.
Attacked by the mutants earlier, Hero is rendered unconscious when his arm explodes and detonates. And aided by Psycho and the mutants, his fellow convicts from the fateful accident, Hero and Bernice return to Samurai Town. Anyway, what happened to Bernice? Let's talk about her. So she's the woman that escapes, and she becomes, what, a catatonic or something? What half catatonic?
I still don't understand what happened to her.
Yeah, so there's this cult group called led by a guy named Enoch, and she gets captured by them or something? And
there's a weird guy that puts, like, parts of old mannequins on people.
Right.
Yeah, that was weird.
And he seems evil to me, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, that was Ratman, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, Ratman was the one with the... He had lights, and he had these big things, and he just was always monkeying around with stuff.
Gotcha. So it was one of those guys. Somebody... in Enix group. It's almost like, was it to turn those people to lose their identity? Were they villainous? Were they really villainous? I don't know. I mean,
I'm not sure either.
The only person that really seemed villainous was the guy that was putting those parts on people and taking them over almost.
Now, who's the one that took Nancy a prisoner? Nancy was the blue-haired girl, so one of Bernice's two friends that escaped, Stella and Nancy, and she was tied up with Hero, which is the name of his character. And then did she become one of those mannequin people too? Or was she taken by the mutants? I can't remember now. You know what I'm talking about?
I thought at one point they showed him there.
I don't know how she got there. Did they explain that?
I don't think so.
Yeah, she just got captured, too. When he woke up, she was already captured, too.
So we don't know the how or the why.
Right. But was she with Enix, a prisoner for Enix, or was she a prisoner for the mutants? I can't even remember.
Does it matter?
Yeah, I guess it doesn't. Yeah. Yeah, well, the reason was because I'm trying to figure out if who's villainous or not. Or is everybody gray? And are they only villainous because they're treated like...
The governor is villainous.
Yeah, the governor is really villainous, for sure. And Psycho, obviously, was a bad guy. But now he's kind of redeemed himself, in a sense.
I don't think anybody in Ghostland was inherently evil. They were just there.
Right. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
They were trapped.
Life there is just fucked.
Right. It's based off a circumstance. The way they act is based off a circumstance. Yeah, that's a fair point. So that whole thing where he's screaming the testicle line, that was kind of like steampunky, I felt.
Right?
It did.
Yeah, so Kevin Letts may like this film. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You never know with Kevin what he likes.
That is true.
That is true. As long as there's no nudity, he's okay, and he's okay with it. So I think he may be all right with it. Let's see. What else do we want to talk about on this film? What else? What do we got? Scenes or meanings?
The clock.
Yeah. Let's talk about that clock in that the steampunky thing. What about it, Barrett?
They had a rope tied to the second's hand and were keeping it from moving forward because everything was gonna blow up if they let it go. Like a nuclear explosion was gonna happen.
And did they explain why that was the case?
No. They just thought that's what would happen, so they were stopping time. Don't ask me how or why they could stop time by holding the second hands on a giant clock.
I was going to say, note for listeners, you can't actually stop time by preventing the clock from moving. That's what? Not how that works.
Really?
Really. Right, right. Yeah. And I don't think the clock was actually attached to some nuclear bomb or something. It was just...
It just... There. Yeah, it's hard to say. And it's
yeah.
And I don't know why there was a nuclear device there anyway. I mean, they already had the huge nuclear blast go off. And it's right. Like it was reversing that. It's like they reversed it and they were holding time back. So it was going to happen again if they let time go. I don't know. That's my speculation. I'm sticking with it.
All right. I can't counter your speculation. Because... It's whack.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole film is surreal and whack, so it makes sense to me that maybe stopping a clock in this film prevents nuclear explosions or something. I guess. I don't know. Let's see. What else did we want to talk about? Anything else?
Cool sword fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
That whole culmination at the end of the movie with everybody fighting with swords, it was pretty cool.
And Gatling gun.
And Gatling gun, yes.
Yeah, and that was good because, you know, a lot of these type of films...
Doesn't seem fair to bring a Gatling gun to a sword fight.
Well, hey, but there were still a ton of them left over afterwards, so there was still a lot of fight left in them.
Right, well, and that's
saying, on general principle.
Well, and that's why I liked it, that scene, because a lot of these Hollywood films, they have these people fighting with fists and hands and swords and baseball bats. And
kicking
it's like,
and punching.
Exactly, when you know damn well someone's going to have a pistol, especially in the United States.
No, that's just you, Phil.
Well,
in a smack to the head with a baseball bat, it's going to take you out. Now you're not continuing to fight, so... Yeah, that's unrealistic, too, in a lot of these fights. But, you know, whatever. They're still fun.
Right. Well, yeah, and I'm good with the guns, you know? I mean, guns, you know...
Yeah, I know you worship guns.
I don't have a gun, but I'm just saying it. Like Indiana Jones, dude. He shot the swordsman. You don't... You just shoot him.
I think guns just make things boring. They're too effective. You just show up with a gun and everybody's just dead. It's no fun.
Unless it's like the Romeo and Juliet with the guns. The Leonardo DiCaprio one where they're like swords.
I don't know. I'll watch a good sword fight any day over a gun.
I don't know. John Wick, dude. He had guns and that was awesome.
Gun Fu. I'd rather watch Kill Bill, though.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, yeah. I just try to use logic. It's like, you just have a gun. You take them all out.
Phil, trying to apply logic to this movie is folly.
Futile.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, really, the second he jumps out of a car and onto a bicycle, whew, logic right out the window.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah, especially when he knows he only has... 3 days to find her, and he's going to take a bike. riding a wasteland street, which is all dirt pivoted. And,
well, I think he was just trolling them.
Yeah, he sure was. Yeah, because he pretty much thought he was dead anyway, so he didn't even care at that point.
Right.
Yeah. Even better would have been if he got in the car and then just started running over people. Plow into them, you know. That would be cool. Yeah. So the governor was a scumbag, right? He wouldn't give the key.
Mm-hmm.
That was surprising. I was expecting.
Yeah, I was actually surprised at that. He should have given them the key.
I'll tell you how I was expecting this to end before I saw how ineffective the explosive devices were. Is I was expecting him to complete his mission, come back with the girl, and then him not give the key, and Nicolas Cage just tackling him and embracing him so he was on top of it when the explosives went off.
That would have been awesome. But you know what? I think they want a sequel, so they didn't want to kill him off.
Oh, I hope there's no sequel.
Oh, God.
That would be awesome. Yeah, I hope not, too. But yeah, that would have been an awesome ending, too, Eric.
That would have worked for me, actually. Head.
So the only reason I didn't get really excited when he wouldn't give him the key is because I had seen how ineffective the explosives were. Well, I guess the testicle one was, it did its job, but still, they're pretty, you know, little pop gun things. So I don't think they would have been effective in, like, if he'd just, like, wrapped himself on the guy. I don't necessarily know if Bill Moseley would have died.
Right, because this is Kill Bill violence, where, mm-hmm. you know, people can have their arms and legs chopped off, and they're still living with no problems.
Right. Right.
Yeah, yeah. And the blood's just squirting out everywhere. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I remember when what's the character name in Kill Bill? The Uma Thurman's character? I forget. What's her?
The
Bride. The Bride.
Bride, yeah.
Yeah, when she chops off the arms of
a lot of people.
Ishii, which is played by whatever her name is, chops off the arms of her assistant.
Uh-huh.
That and she was splattering blood and she's still living. It was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Well, and that's
what this the blood spurts in this movie kind of reminded me of.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. The difference is this one wasn't censored by the U.S. where they had to change the into black and white. Because it was good.
Quentin Tarantino credit. That was a pretty interesting workaround.
Yes. Yeah, because that wasn't supposed to be black and white. It would turn black and white because he didn't want to do any cuts. Let's see what else. Anything else that we want to talk about this film?
Nah, I mean, if you're curious enough by what we've said to watch it, have fun.
Have at it.
And I'll mention one more time that I also really enjoyed how Bill Moseley said testicule.
that's another sound bite you gotta get, Eric.
Testicule.
Yeah, because he's got like that southern drawl or something. So if you like mutants, if you like samurai sword fights, if you like Gatling guns, if you like testicle explosions, if you like Nicolas Cage insanity, if you like insanity, period. this film is for you, that's for sure. Yeah. What about you, Barrett? You have anything else that you wanted to bring up?
Just that I don't really understand why the main samurai that worked for the governor fought Nicolas Cage. Yeah, why he fought Nicolas Cage at the end there. Because
I was a little confused by that myself.
He seemed like he was also
Protecting him.
Yeah, exactly.
Fighting the other samurais that were trying to kill Nicolas Cage, but then he was trying to kill Nicolas Cage himself. It's like, dude, make up your mind.
Well, yeah. You know what? I think this is what it is that Yasujiro made his choice when he chopped off Stella's head.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't cut off her head, then I think he would have joined the good guys.
Okay.
But his soul was ruined after that. And so he wanted to do the one-on-one, and this was his honor way of dying if he didn't win because of all his evil in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fair.
That's what I'm guessing, anyway. Yeah.
It just his motivations were confusing because of his actions.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, this is like a mob movie in a sense where you have this guy that is in turmoil and he has to decide, should he be a bad guy or a good guy? It's like the guy in The Stand. What's the character's name? The one that was the number two after the walking dude.
Oh yeah. I can't think of it.
Lloyd.
Okay.
Yeah. Lloyd's character.
Lloyd
has to make decisions. Is he going to be good or bad? And eventually he just is bad. So I think this is kind of the same thing. Yeah. That's my guess. Yeah.
Well, and in the book, I mean, if we go by the book, Lloyd is conflicted, right? He does do some good things even at the end when he's still being loyal. Like, he doesn't turn some of the people in that are going to leave and stuff like that.
That's right. That's right.
But we're talking about prisoners in a ghost line.
No, right. I know. He just brought that up, so I'm just
yeah,
saying it was the same type of conflicted nature.
Yeah. Yes. Yasujiro is kind of like a Lloyd, is what I
think.
And when he killed Stella, that was when his soul was
Stella.
That's right, Vivian Lee and Alaya Kazan, A Streetcar Named Desire. that was a film that was considered as a possible cinema avant-garde as well.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I was thinking of going with On the Waterfront instead because that's a better film.
I've not seen On the Waterfront. I think I watched A Streetcar Named Desire a long time ago.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a Tennessee Williams. I wrote that one. anyway, back to this film here. So, that is interesting, though, that it's like, why was he protecting? But it's like he has respect for the villain.
Right.
I mean, for the hero, but that doesn't mean he's friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah. I guess he was still trying to fulfill some duty, even though he didn't really want to.
That's right. All right. So anything else we wanted to talk about besides testicles?
I don't know what else to say about this movie.
Right.
Yeah, there's not much more to say.
Yeah. So, but yeah. Either way, the film is.
I do have one more thing to say, actually.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Was that a line in the film?
No, that's me saying you're welcome.
Because
you chose the film.
You and I am pleased with it.
Right. Hey, I chose the giant. So.
Now here's the question: is this worse or better than the giant?
Oh, much better. At least more interesting.
So you're still the winner, Phil.
Yeah, well, I don't know. The Giant.
No, you're wrong, Phil. The Giant is not a good movie. Stop trying to convince us it is.
Well, yeah. It's an interesting film, put it that way.
It's completely boring.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah.
You should watch it though, Barrett, and determine on your own.
I know you keep saying that, but then I keep hearing how bad it is. So I'm
Barrett will watch The Giant if you watch The Stand again, just to make sure it's bad.
Oh, no, that's way too long. The Giant's only an hour and a half. I ain't watching The Stand ever. That was friggin' terrible.
The question is, which is worse, The Mist or The Stand? I think you should watch them both again just to make sure and get a good definitive answer to that.
I think The Stand is worse because The Mist. It's just kind of boring and not real good, but Stand is like a travesty.
Yeah, because
okay.
Yeah, because The Mist wasn't intentionally trying to follow the book, while, and we're talking about the miniseries, not the movie. The movie's awesome, but nice. The Stand reboot that happened this year, 2021, and late last year, literally destroyed the book. Completely.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was trying to follow the
book. It took a shit all over it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, back to this film here. All right, so we're pretty much wrapped up this film here. So we'll give our final thoughts and stuff. But before we do, any news or what we've been watching for folks who are interested in things that would be horror related? It is Halloween month, so maybe some of you folks have been already watching some stuff. What do you got, Eric? Why don't you start?
I have some stuff, yeah. So you'll remember that recently I mentioned the low budget film on Amazon Prime called Llamageddon. And enjoyed it. So if you liked that, then I'm going to recommend to you also low budget and on Amazon Prime, The Velocipastor. About a pastor who gets infected and suddenly starts turning into a velociraptor and killing people. Real low budget, leans into it. Intentionally bad and hilarious. So if you're into that, check out The Velocipastor. On Netflix, if you have not watched it yet, then I highly recommend watching Squid Game. It is a 9-part series. It might be a season one. It took an awfully lot of time and resources to get this out, so I don't know if they're going to continue it and do a season two. They certainly set it up for it. But yeah, this is a South Korean series, 9 episodes, basically about a kind of Hunger Games battle royale type of situation where a bunch of people play games to try and win a whole ton of money to get out of debt. But if you lose, then you're eliminated. So if that sounds like it's up your alley, I would highly recommend it. It's really well done. It is a worldwide sensation and has become the most watched Netflix show ever, which is saying something because they command a lot of eyeballs.
Now, is that a subtitled or either way?
It's either way. They have it subtitled in, I think, 31 different languages.
Oh, gotcha.
So
now, I saw there was some,
ready for talking a global about audience.
Squid Game, right? Is that the one that had some controversy over the subtitles?
Yeah. Apparently, some of the translations aren't exact, and apparently, you lose some nuance. However, at no time was I confused as to what was going on.
Okay.
It's not like they don't make sense. It's just apparently there are slight nuances in translation that don't quite come through.
Gotcha.
Is my understanding, at least. But I wasn't sitting there reading the subtitles going, what? That doesn't make any sense. It's not like that.
Yeah, okay. So it still made sense anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. So then I rewatched, I got the Screen Factory Collector's Edition remastered 4K Dolby Atmos soundtrack version of the 1978 Halloween, and watched that with Dan and Susie last weekend. It is a great disc. So if you're a fan of the movie and have a 4K setup, I would highly recommend picking that up.
Nice.
Then I watched VHS 94, and I will leave my comments to that to a later time, because apparently we're going to be talking about it on the show, even though I already watched it by accident. So we'll talk about that later. And that's what I've been watching.
All right. Very good. Very good. Sounds good. Now, with you, Barrett, before I ask you what you've been watching, have you played Far Cry 6 yet?
I have not bought it yet. I have so many other games that I'm trying to play, and I still haven't even finished 5. So, yeah, it'll be a while for me on that one.
Gotcha, gotcha. All right, so have you been watching any Halloween stuff or anything that would interest our listeners?
I actually was at a writer's workshop all last week, and all I did was write. But I did just get the season pass on iTunes for the new Chucky show because I don't have regular cable anymore, so that's what I have to do to get to watch it.
So is that on Apple Plus or what station is that on?
It's on USA or Sci-Fi.
Oh, okay. So you have you purchased it through iTunes. Gotcha.
Yeah, I spent $20 for the whole season.
Yeah,
I figured that's like getting a movie. So, and it's going to be however many.
I got no problem with $20 for a season of television. $20 for one movie is a bit much.
Yeah, and there's so much other stuff that I get with the streaming services I have. I didn't feel bad about that, and I'm very interested in it. I like the Chucky movies, so I'm looking forward to watching that. I have not watched the first episode yet. I just signed up for that today. Let me
ask you this, Barrett, before you go to the next topic. Do you know if it's going to be following the original franchise, or is it going to be the science fiction-y one that the remake did?
I think it's going to be following the original franchise from what I can tell.
I'm not a huge Chucky fan, so I don't plan on watching it myself. But from what I saw, the doll in the series certainly is reminiscent of the original one.
Yeah, and it's got Jennifer Tilly, I think, is supposed to be in it. And so, yeah, I think it's going pretty big off of, like, the most recent one, wasn't it Cult of Chucky, I think it was mm-hmm. called? I think it's coming after that.
Okay.
Right, right. And you said Jennifer Tilly is in it, or Jessica Tilly? What's her name? Jennifer.
Jennifer Tilly. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know how? What's crazy about Jennifer Tilly is that she's in her 60s now. Isn't that nuts?
It is.
That's not like, really.
Really good.
I mean, well, time you're right.
It's the same to everybody.
Yeah, you're right. It's just that I remember as, you know, the sex pot 28-year-old or whatever she was when we were kids, and now it's like, oh my God, she's 63 now, which she's still good looking, but it's just like crazy.
Well, and the funny thing is she's also, I don't know if she's, I guess she's maybe semi-professional poker player?
Yes, that's correct.
And apparently yep. she's quite good and also is not shy about distracting other players with her cleavage.
That's smart.
Makes sense.
Part of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 and she has plenty to show, so good for her.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Yeah, yeah, she is. She's played World Poker Tour and all that, and she's really good. So that's kind of cool. All right, so continue, Barrett. I'm sorry, I just want to interject and ask about a little more about the Chucky show.
Yep, and then I am watching Foundation. I'm not completely caught up because I was gone for a week, but
is that worth checking out?
It's worth checking out. Are you a fan of Foundation?
I've never read the books, so
okay.
I plan on watching it first
like
and then reading the books later.
Yeah, I think you'll like it. It's different from the books, but the books were written as like a serial short story thing. So the show's doing its own thing, but keeping the crux of the story there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worth watching.
Yeah, I've heard that fans of the books are never going to be satisfied with any adaptation because it just can't be done because it spans eons.
Yes, exactly.
But that what they're doing with it, if you just take it on face value, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's well worth watching and visually.
How's the special,
it's really stunning.
Special effects are awesome. It's like it's like Game of Thrones quality type.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah. Apple's not shy about dumping money into things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. All right, sounds cool.
As far as upcoming things, I am looking forward to the I Know What You Did Last Summer series that's going to be on Prime, I guess.
Really?
Yeah, there's supposed to be a series coming
out.
I know of its existence, I just don't know why.
Oh, gotcha. I'm looking forward to it. I gotcha.
So you mean I know What You Did Last Summer, the movie by Kevin Williamson, is being made into a TV series, you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
And okay, that's interesting. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, I don't understand why they decided to do that, and I don't understand why Barrett's interested in it. But hey, if you enjoy it, more power to you.
There are things I didn't like about the first one, and there are things I did like about the first one. But yeah, generally, I want to see what they're going to do with it.
I might check out an episode just to see.
Yeah. And then, the Scream movie coming out like early next year. I'm looking forward to that a lot too. I know came out.
That's right.
On trailer. So.
Right. Right. Also the guy that Kevin Williamson is wrote another film that the director of and showrunner of Black Summer is making.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So that'll be pretty cool too. That's coming out next summer or next spring too, supposedly. So that'll be curious.
That's Scream 4 is the reason I have Wes Craven's autograph. Is because they shot a lot of that in Ann Arbor. And I actually knew the guy who was a real estate agent, and he was showing Wes Craven houses to use as shooting locations. So he got my copy of Nightmare on Elm Street autographed.
Nice. That's awesome.
Right, right.
Sadly, he's not around to do this one.
No, he died much too young.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how he passed. I think it was a heart
attack. It was a heart attack.
Yeah, yeah. So that kind of sucked. Yeah, Toby Hooper, too. He died young, too.
Carpenter, what do you know? John Carpenter's still kicking, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I just watched a little featurette about him doing the music on the 2018 Halloween.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, I got to start watching that Foundation series as well. That's definitely a show I want to check out, that's for sure.
Yeah, cool. It's definitely worth watching. It's very interesting.
Right. All right, sounds good. Sounds good. What's it getting for reviews, you know, if it's getting good reviews?
I haven't been paying attention to those just because I have a feeling that people that haven't read the books are going to like it, and the people that have are going to just, you know, shit all over it because it's not what they want.
That's pretty much what I've been observing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'll be curious. I'll have to look that up on Rotten Tomatoes and all that other good stuff to see what people are thinking of it. The critics, not that the critics matter, but you know how it is. It's just curiosity. But here it is. I'm looking it up now. Rotten Tomatoes, 71% good reviews out of 80. Yeah, Foundation's big budget production and impressive performances are a sight to behold, but it struggles to wrangle the behemoth that its source material into a fully satisfying series. Interesting. But if you're not familiar with the books, it doesn't matter. You're just gonna see it and this is awesome.
Right, exactly. Exactly right.
Yeah. So I'm sure I'll probably like it. That's cool. So it's hard science fiction, right?
Oh yeah.
Nice. And that was it, you said, right, Bert?
Yep, that's it.
All right, sounds good. For me, I got nothing. Got nothing at all. I was away for that convention in Pennsylvania with Mike. Wait until Mike joins us to talk about that. I just don't watch TV anymore. I just don't, unless it's football. That's it.
I forgot something to talk about. It's actually a gaming thing. I don't usually have gaming stuff to talk about. I did get Diablo 2 Resurrection.
Yay! Fun game.
Yeah, the remastered version of that game, which I spent many, many, many hours playing in the early 2000s. They did a good job. And I got to say, playing it on a console is so much easier than doing it on a computer.
Yeah, I
enjoy the console experience for that. So I'm having fun revisiting Diablo 2.
How much is it on the console?
I think it was $30, something, $30-$40.
Yeah, okay, that's a good price. Yeah, that's a good price. Yeah, because I want to check that out, and I want to check Far Cry 6 out. Those are the two games I got to buy. And I still have Resident Evil, the latest one that I bought, but I haven't played it yet. Yeah, so I got a couple of games I got to get to, but once I stop.
If you played Diablo 2 in the past, they did a really good job of just recreating that experience. It's the same game, yep. It just looks better, so it's really pretty cool.
Nice. Cool. Yeah, so I'll have to figure out what to do, because once I stop getting into Far Cry 6, I'm going to be
You're
playing
done.
For the next. Yeah, I'm doing that for the next 10 months.
Still for 6 months.
Yeah. I know. That's just what I did for all of 2019. Far Cry 5.
And that was pre-pandemic, man. You could have been out doing stuff with people.
Well, and you know what's odd is since pre-pandemic, I've been doing more stuff outside than ever.
So, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is weird, isn't it? Yeah. So it is what it is. Well, Far Cry 5, it was addicting. It was the best game ever. All right. So I got nothing else either. That's pretty much it. All right. So I guess we can get into our final thoughts on this film here. But before we do, Eric, those extra 1,000 episodes that we're talking about that you've done over all the rest of us, you actually do another podcast with your buddy Dan.
I do. We have not done 1,000 episodes. We just put out episode 472. But with that is we started out being a weekly podcast, and since I've gotten to the point where actually it's mostly Dan because he runs his own business at this point, has to take a week off every now and then more frequently than we used to, which is why we're significantly behind Dark Discussions at this point in episode numbers. But it's a general interest podcast where we just talk about current events and wherever our conversation leads us. That's spelled ASKANCITY. You can find it wherever you got this one.
Now, if you need a guest host every so often, like you did with the Watson Man or MJ Preston, let me know. I'll come on.
You're definitely last on the list.
I figured I was definitely on the last list because I haven't been asked yet. So I figured that was the case.
You should hold your breath until that happens.
Wonderful. Yeah, appreciate that.
That's rough, man. Woo.
It was rough. That was pretty rude. I'm hurt. That My heart is not.
Don't invite yourself on somebody else's show.
I wasn't inviting. I was just mentioning in passing. Anyway, that's cool. So people should check that podcast out. And Barrett, me and you are doing a special run of Halloween. What's that? Actually, what's the name of the podcast? And what's that run we're going to be doing shortly?
Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews. And we are going to do a Grindhouse themed month.
Yeah, so we're going to choose four cult films that aren't like mainstream that everybody knows, but like the deep horror fans would probably know. And we're going to talk about four of them. We're going to do a four episode run, I think. So yeah. That will be pretty awesome. So we were going to do it early this month, but as Barrett mentioned, he had to go away for a trip for his writer's camp, and then I had that my trip down to Pennsylvania, and it was just getting busy, and so we're probably going to do it near the end of the month, so that's good. Cinema a la carte is caught up. All the episodes are coming out this month, so we got the one that just is coming out on Monday the. What is Monday? Monday the 18th is Flash Gordon, and then the next one will come out probably 2 weeks later. So that'll probably be Monday, November 1st, and that's going to be A History of Violence, the Cronenberg film. And then after that, we're going to record a new one. So we're all caught up. And
theoretically.
That's right, theoretically. So I'm
trying to get it done since April.
Yes, we have. Yes, we have. So, but we're caught up with all the past episodes are all coming out. So that's all good. Yeah. So that'll be good. And that includes myself and Eric. And Eric, what's that podcast about? Why are we doing it on the side?
Because we had many debates over what movies should qualify for the Dark Discussions podcast. So we just decided to make a spinoff podcast to talk about movies that don't quite fit under that umbrella. So we talk about, general, dramas. We haven't done any comedies yet, but it's not disqualified. Maybe some Western action, stuff like that. Just stuff that really isn't quite dark enough for Dark Discussions. Although I kind of ruined that with my first choice, because Hostile House is pretty fucking dark. But generally, we do stuff that doesn't quite fit for Dark Discussions. It originally started with a debate over Mission Impossible 6, which Phil wanted to do on Dark Discussions. And I was like, nope, that's not Dark Discussions. And so he put up a poll because he thought he was being clever, and then lost the poll. So... We're going to do it probably on Cinema a la Carte at some point. I'm surprised you haven't picked it yet, Phil.
Well, now that I could choose some of my favorite films that wouldn't necessarily be done on Dark Discussions, I'm going with them over.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. I'm still debating After the Edge. Yeah, that's the next film after that.
We've said it before. It's fine.
Yeah, we've said it. Yeah. And then Mike's going to pick something, and I'm pretty sure he's going to pick something like Battle Beyond the Stars or something. And then I got to think of what I'm picking, and I'm still debating it. I got a handful of good ones.
You've had a year to figure this out, Phil.
Yeah, I know. Indeed. Yeah, I've chose three so far. I did Starlet, which is a drama, a human interest story, which is really good. And then two thrillers, Collateral and A History of Violence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you've done a very eclectic too. You did Hostiles, the Western, then you did
Inside Out,
the Disney film, and then you did Jack Reacher, a thriller.
Right.
Yeah, and Mike's been the most consistent with science fiction B movies.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. So yes. So it's a pretty good
episode. Good time. We have fun on that show.
Yeah, yeah. So we should get that started up again now that all the episodes are being released. So we got to get some more in the can to start releasing. Yep. All right, sounds good. So I guess we can give our final thoughts on this film here. So, Eric, Prisoners of the Ghostland.
This movie is whack. I think Baird phrased it perfectly. This is a really strange movie. If you like Gonzo films, if you like Nick Cage being at max Nick Cage, like sword fighting, bright colors, weird singing, then you might want to check this out. If you have trouble with strange movies, then probably want to skip it.
Indeed, indeed. For me, the film is very odd. Sion Sono is known as an odd director anyway. Nicolas Cage is Nicolas Cage intentionally. And the film is just, bizarro. It's completely bizarro. So if any of those things interest you, this may be a film you want to check out. But be warned, this film is most certainly not for everybody. And it may even be a cultural thing, because this type of film is kind of interesting over in Japan. That they have these weird films like this all the time. So maybe it's a cultural thing. And over in Japan, they love it. While here, it's people scratching their heads. Anyway, I'm with you, Eric. Barrett.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I think part of it is a cultural thing, and part of it is it's just whack. But I think that sums it up pretty much as well as it can be summed up. If you like weird movies, watch it. Or if you are a bad movie lover, it might fit into that category, too. I have some friends who do a bad movie thing every year, and this could fit into there. Your mileage may vary, but you got it. You got a good background of what's going on.
Yeah, it'll be appealing to a select audience. I just can't really define that audience.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't define that audience. It's really true. Scratch your head. All right, so once again, this film is called Prisoners of the Ghostland, a brand new 2021 film, released, believe it or not, in Sundance. That's where it played first, on January 31st, but released everywhere in the United States on September 17th, so less than a month ago. The film is once again directed by the great Sion Sono, one of the most prolific and famous directors in Japan, has won numerous awards. Written by Aaron Hendry and Reza Sixo Safe, both Abeli screenwriters. Hendry, this is his first, and Safi, it's his third. They're mostly known as actors. Film produced by a number of folks, including Safe, starring Nicolas Cage, Sophia Batella, Bill Moseley, Tak Sakaguchi, and Yuzuka Nakaya. I'm actually surprised his wife didn't have a role in this. Sono's wife, because she's in a lot of his films. Cinematography by Sohei Tanekawa. Music by Joseph Trapani's. Joseph Trapani's is fairly well known for his work in other films and such, including collaborations with a number of interesting folk, such as Daft Punk and Mike Shinoda, among other things. He's done films for The Raid. He did that, the punching and kicking film. So he's done a lot of good films. The Bourne Legacy, he's done those. Some of that. So. Yeah, the punching and kicking and punching.
That was a good one.
That was awesome. And I played that like seven times in that episode. But either way, the film is available anywhere to rent or purchase. And if you do purchase, it does have some extras. Rental at this time, which is once again October 14th, 2021, is $6.99 in HD, and purchase is about $14.99. That's about it. So with that stated, Eric, why don't you lead us out?
All right. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us talk about Prisoners of a Ghostland. Come back next week. We'll have another topic.